This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Deliberations resume. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, November 17. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Wisconsin jury considering the fate of Kyle Rittenhouse returns to a Kenosha courtroom today. The panel deliberated all day yesterday.
Are parents being targeted for protesting education policies? The FBI has set up a way to track threats against educators.
On the medical front, Pfizer is seeking FDA approval for a pill designed to keep people with COVID out of the hospital.
And the slow return to the job of those in their prime working years.
There are about 1.4 million fewer adults aged 25 to 54 who are working or looking for a job than in February 2020, which is right before the pandemic hit the U.S. economy.
Sarah Cheney Cambon at the Wall Street Journal on the missing workers threatening the economic recovery. Deliberations will resume for a second day today in the murder trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. A jury began considering yesterday whether the 18-year-old should be held responsible for killing two people and injuring another during protests in August of last year in Kenosha. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
In addition to the homicide and attempted homicide charges, jurors will consider two charges of reckless endangerment. Mr. Rittenhouse, who was 17 at the time, fired two shots at an unidentified man moments before he shot and struck two others. The jury will be allowed to consider lesser charges on certain counts if they cannot unanimously agree. If convicted of first-degree intentional homicide, Mr. Rittenhouse would face a mandatory life sentence. Other first-degree charges could result in sentences of up to 60 years in prison. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Rittenhouse is charged with killing Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and wounding Gage Grosskreutz. The shootings took place during protests in Kenosha, marred by arson, rioting, and looting that followed the police shooting of Jacob Blake, who was left paralyzed from the waist down. President Biden is predicting that his massive social safety net spending and climate bill will be passed within a week's time. The roughly $2 trillion proposal called Build Back Better is currently being debated among Democrats on Capitol Hill. Mr. Biden made the prediction while he hit the road to pitch his recently passed $1 trillion infrastructure law. Yesterday, he visited an old bridge in Woodstock, New Hampshire that's considered structurally deficient.
I truly believe that 50 years from now, when historians write about this moment, I think they're going to talk about this was the beginning of the time where America recaptured the competition of the 21st century.
Mr. Biden and members of his cabinet are planning events around the country to promote the infrastructure law, which aims to repair roads and bridges, upgrade the electrical grid, and expand access to broadband internet. Separately, congressional Democrats are ready this week to formally debate the social spending and climate bill, with a vote expected as soon as Friday. Well, senators are bracing for their debate over President Biden's climate and social spending bill to keep them in Washington until and potentially into the holidays. More from Jordan Carney, Senate reporter at The Hill. Jordan, give us the timeline.
So the Senate is sort of entering its final work period of the year. Theoretically, they're supposed to leave town on December 13th, but that is probably not going to happen. They've got to fund the government potentially twice. They've got to do Biden's spending plan. They're trying to pass a massive defense bill. And then there's also the debt ceiling sort of floating out there with some questions about the exact timing of when they would need to deal with that.
So you kind of lead off the story saying, I mean, they could be into the holidays here. Has that happened before with trying to get stuff done?
They've gotten pretty close, and then, I mean, in my time, they haven't, but they've gone pretty close. And then last year, they were back for New Year's. A couple of years ago, we had a government shutdown that actually lasted through the holidays, but they just kind of left for Christmas proper, so to speak. But yeah, talking to senators, you know, warning that it could go up against Christmas. Tester, you know, sort of said New Year's Eve is maybe when they finish their work for the year. Wow. So a definite vibe that we're gonna be here, you know, right, deep and potentially into the holidays.
I guess too, that doesn't even necessarily guarantee that the work would get done, right, or that they'd reach an agreement on a couple of these things.
Their hope is that they can get all of these done by the end of the year. That's not a lot of time in Senate world, so to speak. They're on the defense bill. That could take a couple of weeks. They're still negotiating over here on BBB, and you've got, you know, Senator Manchin, who has said he has concerns on timing and has concerns about inflation, so that's not, you know, a guaranteed deal. They have not outlined yet how they're going to raise the debt ceiling. So you've got that issue sort of looming out there, unresolved. So yeah, just because they say we want to finish our work by the end of the year does not mean they will actually finish their work by the end of the year.
We're speaking with Jordan Carney, Senate reporter at The Hill. Her piece is called "Democrats Face Squeeze on Biden's Spending Bill." Explain too, kind of what they're up against with this continuing resolution, because the government is currently funded like until December 4, right? So what has to happen there amidst all this other stuff?
Starting on December 4th or by the end of December 3rd, they've got to pass a government funding bill. The assumption is they're going to do some sort of short-term patch. The question is, you know, there's some talk that they, instead of kicking it into next year, they'll actually just kick it until, you know, December 17th, roughly. So do a two-week short-term bill, which would set up another end-of-the-year deadline, even closer to Christmas. The alternative is that they pass a funding bill that gets them into February or March and sort of takes one potential issue off the end of year Christmas plate for them.
So there's this squeeze to get this stuff done, right? Because there's a general thinking that in 2022, a midterm election year, nobody wants to really touch any controversial legislation.
Right, exactly. The conventional wisdom up here is that nothing substantial necessarily happens legislatively during an election year. We forget it, but like even once the Senate passes Biden's spending bill, they're likely to make changes. It's going to have to go back to the House for a final vote. So you still have that at the tail end.
Boy, so explain that then. So the Senate could get the Build Back Better and mm-hmm. just vote to approve it, or they could get it, make changes. Then it's got to be rediscussed or redebated all over again.
So the Senate has this kind of wonky, chaotic process where they will bring Build Back Better to the floor, and then any senator who wants to force an amendment vote to that bill can get a vote on anything. So it's pretty likely that at least one, there are non-controversial amendments that get added on the Senate side, so then it needs to bounce back to the House, where they will have to vote a second time.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Carney, Senate reporter at The Hill. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Coming up next, we could see a pill to treat COVID by the end of the year. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. HARRYS. harrys.com/deal. Glad you're with us. The drug maker Pfizer has asked U.S. health regulators to authorize its COVID-19 pill for use in high-risk patients. Clearance from the FDA would give patients and doctors an easy-to-use treatment to keep people out of the hospital. If approved, Paxlovid could be available for people to take at home by the end of the year. John Brownstein is an epidemiologist at Boston Children's Hospital.
Imagine you identify symptoms early on, take a rapid test, you know, recognize that you're positive. Through a telemedicine visit, you can quickly get a prescription fill it at a pharmacy, and you can do this without ever having stepped foot in a clinic or a hospital.
In addition, Pfizer has signed a deal with a UN-backed group which would let generic drug companies produce the pill for use in about 95 countries. There are only a handful of options, as you might know, for treating COVID patients, especially shortly after infection. Remdesivir is mostly used to treat hospitalized patients, while monoclonal antibody treatments have proven effective but are costly and typically given in doctor's offices or hospitals. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
As many parts of western Washington begin drying out after a storm that dumped rain for days, waters in some areas continues rising. More people are being urged to evacuate, and crews are working to restore power and reopen roads. Eric Gunter is a city council member in Ferndale.
People from all over Ferndale came down all day yesterday in the rain. They were making sandbags all last night till midnight. And then we had truckfuls of kids and adults dispersing these sandbags all over downtown.
Across the border, the body of a woman was recovered from a landslide northeast of Vancouver. At least two other people were reported missing.
Number two.
President Biden is highlighting billions of dollars in his bipartisan infrastructure deal to pay for the installation of electric vehicle charges across the country, an investment that he says will go a long way to curbing planet-warming carbon emissions while creating good-paying jobs.
This law is a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America. It leaves nobody behind.
Biden today will visit a GM plant in Detroit that manufactures electric vehicles.
Number three.
The medical examiner who performed the autopsy on Ahmaud Arbery told jurors Arbery was shot twice and could have been grabbing the shotgun or pushing it away when he was killed in February 2020. Edmund Donahue, a forensic pathologist at the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, was among the last of the prosecution's 23 witnesses over 8 days as the state rested its case in the trial of father and son Gregory and Travis McMichael and their neighbor William Bryan. The men are charged with murder and other crimes. China and the U.S. have agreed to ease restrictions on each other's media workers amid a slight easing of tensions between the two sides. Under the agreement, the U.S. will issue one-year multiple entry visas to Chinese media workers and will immediately initiate a process to address duration of status issues. China will reciprocate by granting equal treatment to U.S. journalists once the U.S. policies take effect. Well, we sure do love our fast food. A new report from Top Data finds visits to fast food joints soared 33% from January to April. Burger chain saw a whopping 54% increase, followed by Mexican at 32%, fried chicken at 29%, and pizza at 16%.
That Monday through Friday, if you could just schedule those, right? The burgers Monday, the
you're
pizza.
You're not a fast food person.
I know, but I love it.
You're not. Come on.
23 minutes after the hour. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Some people treat investing like a game, but not Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Their digitally managed portfolios are backed by over 150 years of financial experience. So play games with your money or put it to work with a digitally managed portfolio from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Go to Marcus.com to learn more. Brokerage and advisory services by Goldman Sachs and Company, LLC. Member SIPC. Investments involve risk and may lose value. Thanks for being with us. A new report from Bankrate.com has identified the best and worst states for drivers. Are you among the privileged motorists or not? More from analyst Sarah Foster. Sarah, what were the factors?
So we looked at all 50 states and we analyzed them based on four factors. Number one, we looked at cost, which was the biggest component of our research. So that includes average cost of a car repair, auto insurance, gas, you know, all these things that are very important for us when we want to get behind the wheel. The other three components were safety, driving quality, and weather. So when we think about safety, we thought about DUI arrests per population, also things like, you know, the chances of colliding with wildlife if you're living in maybe a more secluded state. Driving quality includes poor bridges, road conditions, and then weather, of course. If you're driving in the middle of a snowstorm, that doesn't really bode well for us behind the wheel.
California ranked as the worst state for drivers. Explain, I guess, where they ranked in terms of those factors.
Yeah. Well, I think what California really highlights is what we've known all along. These states that are really densely populated and expensive, they bring a lot of frustration and a lot of costs for drivers. And we saw that with California. It had the highest gasoline prices. It was about 1.4 times the national average, had the highest cost of auto repairs, seventh highest auto insurance premium. So, you know, these people who are spending a lot of time behind the wheel, they're having to pay a lot of money as well to operate the car. And then we also saw, you know, since it's so congested, we saw that it had the fifth longest average commute time in the country. So I think what this really shows here is that according to our research, you might be having a really good drive thanks to California being the fourth best state for weather.
Right.
You're probably dealing with a lot of frustrations if you're someone who has to drive everywhere.
We're speaking with Sarah Foster, analyst at Bankrate.com. They found the best and worst states for drivers. So the worst five: Colorado, Rhode Island, Maryland, Louisiana second to last, and California dead last in terms of worst states for drivers. So if you talk about congestion, I think Northeast also, right? Where I am in New Jersey or maybe New York, but they didn't make the worst five. And in fact, Louisiana was second to last. What worked against Louisiana?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, also being a New York resident, I found that very surprising that it wasn't in the bottom five. But with Louisiana, I think it was kind of similar kind of conditions here that really led to its downfall. Drivers have the highest auto insurance premium in the state, the 20th highest cost of an auto repair. But I think what really kind of knocked Louisiana down is it's the 14th worst state for driving quality. A real high percentage of roads are in poor condition. In fact, they were the 13th worst in the country.
Wow.
The 17th longest average commute time. Drivers are on average having to spend about 27 minutes behind the wheel on their commute. So I think when you look at Louisiana, you might not really be in one of those states that's notoriously known for being poor for drivers, but you're really having to make a lot of trade-offs here if you're someone who's spending a lot of time behind the wheel.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Foster, analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy. Guys, the days of wearing uncomfortable business attire are over, but that's a good thing. You don't have to sacrifice style for comfort thanks to Cuts Clothing. I love their stuff. I've worn my Cuts shirts with pretty much anything, from shorts and sandals to suit jackets. They've stayed soft and comfortable, and they look great. They've got an exclusive collection perfect for any occasion or season. Polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. There's never been a better time to try Cuts Clothing. They're kicking off the holiday sale season early with 30% off site-wide now through December 3rd. And you know you want to order early this year. Shipageddon 2021 is coming. In preparation, Cuts is starting their sale season early for you with 30% off site-wide starting November 9th so you can have worry-free holiday shopping. Head over to CutsClothing.com today to get 30% off site-wide through December 3rd and upgrade your wardrobe with their world-famous shirts, joggers, or their all-new outerwear. That's C-U-T-S, CutsClothing.com.
Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, November 17. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Deliberations resume in the Rittenhouse trial. Pfizer seeks approval for a pill to treat COVID. South Carolina Republican Nancy Mace has introduced a bill to federally decriminalize marijuana, giving states more freedom. Lecturers at 9 University of California campuses begin a 2-day strike today, protesting what they call unfair labor practices. Another quarter of higher sales at Walmart. USA tied Jamaica in a World Cup qualifier. And the strangers turned friends, celebrating Thanksgiving together again. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Lightstream. Apply today for a fixed-rate credit card consolidation loan, and you could save thousands in interest. Go to lightstream.com/deal. By many measures, the job market is strong. Payrolls are growing solidly, job openings are near records, and wages are climbing at a brisk clip. One factor, though, continues to bedevil prospects for a smooth labor market recovery. The share of people working or looking for a job has stagnated in recent months. More from Sarah Cheney Cambon, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, what are we seeing?
We're seeing that there are about 1.4 million fewer adults aged 25 to 54 who are working or looking for a job than in February 2020, which is right before the pandemic hit the U.S. economy. And it's really puzzling because a lot of economists had expected that school reopenings would free parents back up to reenter the labor force, that the expiration of expanded unemployment benefits would widely boost work searches, but those things really didn't materialize or haven't materialized this fall.
How come? Are there multiple reasons or is there a single reason? What's going on?
It's somewhat of a mystery. I think that there are also kind of new factors that have emerged somewhat unexpectedly to kind of keep workers on the sidelines. For instance, we've seen just a lot of anecdotal evidence that workers are kind of reevaluating their work-life balance and deciding to maybe take some time off of work, not look for a job, and spend more time with family or kind of pursue different hobbies. And it's unclear exactly how long-lasting that might be, but it was certainly unexpected and is a key reason why people are not looking for jobs right now.
So if that's you, generally speaking, in the prime age labor force and you just choose not to work right now, how do you pay bills? Are you moving in with multiple roommates and like doing some freelance work to have some money? Like, how does that work?
I'm sure there's some of that going on. I'm sure we're probably seeing cases where younger adults are, you know, living with their parents. I mean, I know some people who have done that for sure. And also, I mean, you do have the fact that there were just tons of federal stimulus checks that went out. There was expanded unemployment insurance, this child care tax credit. So just lots of like government stimulus that has really allowed a lot of people to kind of build up savings or at least keep paying their bills while they stay out of the workforce.
We're speaking with Sarah Cheney Cambon, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Slow Return of Prime Age Workers Threatens Recovery. How is the recovery threatened here?
Well, basically, you need workers to produce things. And so in kind of economics terms, labor force growth is really key to economic growth. And I think what we're seeing right now is a lot of employers are trying to hire. Job openings are near, you know, record levels, but they can't find the employees that they need to fill those roles. And so in some cases, they're having to, you know, forego projects or, you know, delay services or make their employees work longer hours. And it's just kind of an interesting moment in the labor market for sure.
Does this mean that wages could go higher if employers are forced to do more to attract workers or hang on to them?
Yes, for sure. We're already seeing that wage growth has accelerated in recent months, and it's been pretty widespread, particularly restaurant workers or workers in leisure and hospitality have seen big pay raises. And in some cases, employers are, you know, offering bonuses to lure workers in. And so we've seen some of that. I think there's an open question as to how long it lasts and whether those pressures are those wage pressures are sustained.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Cheney Cambon, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, how a deer hid himself from hunters. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's hunting season in Michigan, and bad news for the hunters. It seems the animals are aware. A 10-point buck has gone viral for an attempt to hide out in a Michigan church. The pastors of the Grace Christian Fellowship Church in Sturgis showed up on Monday morning to find signs of breaking and entering. Little did they know, as they wrote on social media, that the buck had come in for a prayer on the opening day of gun season. The church posted video of the buck's visit on YouTube, in which he can be seen running up and down the stairs and through the rows of the empty church. Eventually, he finds his way back out the same way he came in, through the broken window. One commenter joked, "Just think, all the hunters shivering in the woods praying that a big buck like that will cross their path when all they had to do was come to church."
Mm.
Yeah.
The buck, I must say, does a great job of navigating the stairs,
yeah,
something I presume he's not familiar
right
with.
Right. They don't encounter a lot of stairs out there, yeah, in the wild.
And he's jumping up and down on the stairs, like trying to break through the wall.
Yeah,
well, which was strange.
Well, there's, again, navigating the stairs well, but, you know, certainly confusion being inside,
yeah,
right? And
but
just the entire environment is just unfamiliar.
But showing extreme athleticism and agility, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
And I can understand the kind of the managers of the church starting to panic when he went upstairs to the loft area.
Right.
Near the very expensive organ and piano equipment,
right,
with his giant rack of antlers roaming around.
Yes, we all know how much damage an animal like that could do if left unchecked.
Mm.
And, you know, we go to Starbucks for a lot of things. Coffee, Wi-Fi, maybe a warm cookie or muffin. What we shouldn't rely on them for is emotional support. That was made evident by a woman who posted about her experience with Starbucks on TikTok. In the post, she says she ordered an iced double shot white mocha from the chain's app, which let her write a note to the employees with any additional information about her order. And while the function is usually used for those with allergies, the woman instead asked for a pick-me-up from her barista, writing, "I'm studying hard for an exam. Can you please write something that makes me happy?" Unfortunately, instead of an inspirational messages, what she got was nothing. Just a blank cup without even her name scribbled on the side like you might find if you ordered in person. Her video, which included plenty of heartbreaking emojis, has been watched over 3.5 million times. Commenters had mixed emotions, with some empathizing with her plight, while others reminded her that the already overworked Starbucks employees are not there to be her therapist.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, of all the places, I would think Starbucks would be a place where you might get something like that. Now, there are certain places you would go, you wouldn't even think they would even look twice at something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't think if I did something like that with McDonald's, for example, that they would even think twice or even be allowed to do something like that. But Starbucks seems like a place where they're a little more free with their expression. You know what I mean? They might be able to do something like that if they wanted to. But if they're, again, if it's the middle of the morning and they've got, you know, 12 orders stacked up, they're probably not going to take the time.
Yep. And Starbucks has a tradition of at least being somewhat creative with writing things on cups.
Right. Well, that's
so
what I mean.
They
already write things on the cups.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you need not be turning to Starbucks for some therapy.
Right.
You know, text a friend who's probably up studying for an exam also.
There are other resources at your disposal. Right. That is true.
Thanks, Mike. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Well, coffee is a constant in many morning routines. And now that more of us are working from home, CNBC Make It put together steps you can take to maximize your coffee habit and be more productive, since your old routine while commuting may have changed. Now, try not to laugh at this first one, which is don't drink your first cup as soon as you wake up. Turns out the best time to have it is about 60 to 90 minutes after you wake up. That's because caffeine interferes with the production of cortisol, the hormone
that tells your body to wake up. Also, choose the right ingredients. Coffee beans have different caffeine levels depending on how they're roasted. If you need a stronger energy boost, reach for coffee labeled light roast. The darker you roast the coffee, the more caffeine burns away. And finally, try coffee and a nap together. If you drink coffee immediately before napping and then sleep for 20 minutes or less, you can focus on work better than if you took a regular nap or just drank coffee. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
An expert panel that advises the CDC has scheduled an emergency meeting for Friday to discuss allowing extra COVID vaccine doses for all adults, adding to reports suggesting booster shots will soon become more widely available. The FDA may authorize Pfizer boosters for people ages 18 and older. Meanwhile, Pfizer has asked the FDA to authorize its antiviral pill for the treatment of COVID. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla says his company has worked round the clock on developing COVID treatments.
That made me feel very, very proud. I had tears, I'll tell you, in my eyes when they told me these numbers.
COVID cases are rising in 31 states. Cases for the week ending Monday were up 15% from a recent low on the week ending October 26th.
Number two.
A federal appeals court with a GOP-appointed majority will decide the fate of President Biden's vaccine and testing requirements for private businesses. More than two dozen lawsuits challenging the Biden policy have been consolidated into one in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. The case against the Biden administration's policy will be heard before a three-judge panel, but it's widely expected to ultimately be decided by the Supreme Court.
Number three.
Jurors weighing charges against Kyle Rittenhouse will return for a second day of deliberations today in his murder trial after they failed to reach a swift verdict on whether he was the instigator in a night of bloodshed in Kenosha. The case went to an anonymous jury after Judge Bruce Schroeder, in an unusual move, allowed Rittenhouse to reach into a raffle drum to draw the numbered slips to determine which of the 18 jurors would deliberate and which would be dismissed. Senate Democrats hope to pass President Biden's social safety net and climate plan before Christmas. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It's a huge agenda. We have funding the government. We have debt limit. We have BBB. And we have the defense bill. That's a huge agenda for December and the end of November, but we aim to get it all done.
The House aims to approve the economic package later this week. The crowds will be back. Vaccinated people will be allowed to attend New York City's iconic New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square. Last year, only a limited number of first responders were able to see the ball drop in person.
Like tumbleweed blowing through Times Square last year.
Yeah, that was weird.
Now, well, you can go back to being penned in.
And pickpocketed.
Right, for 9 hours behind barricades. So thanks, Jen. Isn't fine print annoying? Every big wireless provider has it. That's where they always hide the catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? Turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No retail stores means no crazy overhead costs that sneak onto your bill as mystery fees. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and keep your same number with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile's 7-day money-back guarantee has you covered. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. A wholesome mistake made 6 years ago has turned into a holiday tradition and a social media sensation. You may recall this story. A grandmother in Arizona who mistakenly invited a stranger to Thanksgiving in 2016 ended up making a friend. And now the pair have gotten together for the holiday every year since, and this year is no exception. In 2016, Wanda Dench tried to text her grandson about the family's Thanksgiving plans, only she mistakenly contacted a stranger. Jamal Hinton was on the receiving end of that text and jokingly took Ms. Dench up on her offer. You might recall he said, "You not my grandma. Can I still get a plate, though?" Ms. Dench, the caring grandmother, replied, "Of course you can." Mr. Hinton posted about the funny mix-up, and it went viral. And on Thanksgiving Day that year, he drove from Tempe, Arizona, to Mesa, about 15 minutes away, to join the Dench family for the holiday. And every year since, Mr. Hinton and Ms. Dench have celebrated the holiday together. In fact, Ms. Dench's name is saved in his phone as Grandma Wanda. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.